Hey! What are you doing? The train! Get off the... Holy shit! What? How did you... Holy shit!
Dearest incendiary heads, ghouls, goblins, beasties and werewolves everywhere, you're listening to the Incendiary Why Aren't You Listening Halloween Special Shedcast, brought to you in association with Mr. Foster's Pies and the Great Ceylon Tea Company. We cross the oceans to make tea time special. Remember, sweet tea from the Great Ceylon Tea Company can sweeten any conversation. Now then, sit back and grip your armchair as we bring you thrills, chills and the occasional bump in the night. The Incendiary Why Aren't You Listening Halloween Special Shedcast, starring Damien Leslie, Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, and a posh old man, with special guest appearances from Christopher Lee, Donald Pleasance, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I bid you welcome. Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
Arthur Wingate was a fairly well-to-do lawyer in the small town of Morrisville. It's a quiet, orderly town. Nothing out of the way ever happens there, or so he would have thought for 30 years. But then one day, all of it changed, and his whole life lay before him, just like the day he saw those men digging that fresh grave just inside the cemetery gate on his way home from work. You resemble Arthur Wingate, friend. So listen closely, and you may avoid the terrible thing that happened to him. It had been a hot, dusty day in Morrisville. Possibly it was the hot sun, but a sudden headache came over Arthur Wingate. His hands were moist, his brow feverish. He decided to go home to his own farmland just over the hill beyond the town. It wasn't too long a walk. Maybe the fresh air would do him some good. So Arthur Wingate left his office and walked slowly down Main Street. It was odd, but he met no one on the way. Soon he was drawing abreast of the long, low-lying wall that bordered Morrisville's only cemetery. The rhythmic sound of pickaxes attacking the soft sod came to him from beyond the wall. Someone had died. Life and death went on in Morrisville, same as any other town. But opposite the front gate, the sounds of digging were loudest. Arthur Wingate suddenly halted in confusion. No one had died recently, to his knowledge, except, of course, the Starkey boy, and his burial had been a month ago. Puzzled, Arthur Wingate went into the cemetery. And just inside the wall, two men were grimly spading the earth into heaping, ugly mounds. The heads and shoulders of the men were barely visible. Wingate approached them and asked them what they were doing. The faces of the two men were strange to him, but they both seemed to consider his question even stranger. Somebody died, the taller of the two sneered, and they both jeered at Arthur Wingate, whose headache was suddenly worse. Feverishly, he stumbled from the cemetery and finally reached home. The day had been too much for him. He fell into a long, exhausted sleep, but his mind wouldn't let him rest. The scene at the cemetery stayed with him. Who could have died? Arthur Wingate felt the cold wind of something fan his spine. He had a curious sensation of unreality that he could not shake off. He couldn't wait a second longer. He left his home near midnight and ran to the cemetery. It looked eerie, forlorn, and cold in the moonlight. The metal gate squealed as he stepped inside. He splashed light in the direction of where he remembered the grave to be. It was still there, but there was something else, too. A pine box was placed to one side of the grave. Its lid angled backward to show its contents. Arthur Wingate drew nearer and slowly, fearfully aimed his flashlight at the interior of the oblong box. The fact that it was empty was far more frightening than if it had been occupied. There was a tag on the box, dangling from a metal hinge. The wind in the graveyard howled and tore at the things. Arthur Wingate held it up to the light. Scrawled across the tag in a spidery hand were the words, Arthur Wingate, 1907-1957. He saw no more. A hideous scream ripped from his throat and he pitched forward into the empty box, the lid slamming down behind him, shutting him in. Of course, when they found him there the next morning, he was dead. Heart attack. Nothing had been written on the tag except a series of numbers indicating the grave's dimensions. And the box had been for the Starkey boy because his grave was being moved at his mother's request. But Arthur Wingate had met his death. By premonition, by fate, by manifest destiny? Yes, perhaps. It's an interesting tale, isn't it? Quiet, unusual. But I hear them all the time. In my business, you understand. Huh? Oh, I'm an undertaker. Can I interest you in a plot of ground at our summer rates?
Two roosters I slew, and with all of my might, I prayed hard for you. In Haiti at night, your skin has turned blue and your hair has turned white. Must be the voodoo of this Haitian moonlight. We can't take day trips, but oh, those moonlight strolls, dressed up in silk slips, high heels and pink stoles. You swear though your heads as I work the controls. No blood ever drips when I'm rotting your balls. Zombie boy, zombie boy, zombie boy, zombie boy. You seem to have died of some form of the pox. They left you inside your tiny black box. I heard when you cried and I answered your knocks. Let's make you a bride with another two pops. You look pretty pure for so long in the ground. You smell like a sewer, but you don't make a sound. I feed you ordure to keep Bootsy spellbound. I like to be sure you'll be sticking around. Zombie boy, zombie boy, zombie boy.
Alex, what is it? He went for a little walk. You should have seen his face.
Well, in just a few moments, we're off to Hawaii to join Steve McGarrett and the team for tonight's adventure.
That forges their union is a substance known only to one. To the clown it is known as dominion. It's a secret that he'll give to none. The drug which gives the clown power means his circus can never be stopped, and his dream can go on unhindered till the last human being has dropped.
Oh, shit. not afraid.
Bull.
I'm not.
Then go in.
Chicken.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Go in.
Hey. Hey, Lonnie. Get your ass away from there.
Yeah. Nothing's going on except kids playing pranks, trick-or-treating, parking, getting high. I have the feeling that you're way off on this.
You have the wrong feeling.
Well, you're not doing very much to prove me wrong.
What more do you need?
Well, it's going to take more than fancy talk to keep me up all night crawling around these bushes.
I watched him for 15 years, sitting in a room, staring at a wall, not seeing the wall, looking past the wall, looking at this night, inhumanly patient. Waiting for some secret, silent alarm to trigger him off. Death has come to your little town, Sheriff. You can either ignore it, or you can help me to stop it.
More fancy talk. Doctor, do you know what Haddonfield is? Families, children, all lined up in rows up and down these streets. You're telling me they're lined up for a slaughterhouse?
They could be.
All right, I'll stay with you tonight. Just on the chance that you're right. And if you are right, damn you for letting him go.
Darling, I'm lost. Adrift in the dark. I'm clutching your words to my vampire heart. So let in the light. Turn me to dust. If it don't end in bloodshed, yeah, it's probably not love. Here we are in the darkest. My reflection shows only your face. Something is found, something is lost. Looking for clues in the streets of old. Someone's blood. I broke someone's heart again. Someone you know. You're looking at him, my friend. And the people in our lives, we all leave.
Become a werewolf. Ingredients: chalk or string, 1 iron vessel, 1 iron tripod, any 3 of the following: asafoetida, parsley, opium, henbane, saffron, aloe, poppy seed, or solanum. One freshly killed cat, aniseed, camphor, opium, one wolfskin girdle. Preparation. Go to a solitary place at midnight, when the moon is new and strong, preferably a desert, the woods, or a mountaintop. On perfectly level ground, mark off with the chalk or string a circle with a radius of at least 7 feet, and inside this a circle with a radius of 3 feet. In the center, boil water in an iron vessel on the iron tripod. As the water boils, throw in handfuls of the 3 spices, meanwhile intoning. Spirits from the deep who never sleep, be kind to me. Spirits from the grave without a soul to save, be kind to me. Spirits of the trees that grow upon the leaves, be kind to me. Spirits of the air, foul and black, not fair, be kind to me. Water spirits hateful to ships and bathers fateful, be kind to me. Spirits of earth-bound dead that glide with noiseless tread, be kind to me. Spirits of heat and fire destructive in your ire, be kind to me. Spirits of cold and ice, patrons of crime and vice, be kind to me. Wolves, vampires, satyrs, ghosts, elect of all the devilish hosts, I pray you send hither, send hither, send hither, the great gray shape that makes men shiver, shiver, shiver. Come, come, come. Removing your upper garments, smear your body with the fat of the freshly killed cat, mixed with aniseed, camphor, and opium. Bind your loins with the wolf skin and kneel down within the middle of the smaller circle to await the unknown. The unknown will appear, or make its presence felt, when the fire burns blue and quickly dies out.
Just a fly on a window pane, trying to get inside. I'm just a spider making my way,
Poor Jim Rottenshaw by Damien Leslie and Andrew L. Pachorik. One morning appeared a spot on the brow of Jim Rottenshaw's head, but when it popped open, out shot a little mean tapeworm instead. "What are you doing in there?" Jim Rottenshaw asked of the worm. "And please, come away from my hair. Your wriggling is making me squirm." "Your head was a nice place to live. There was plenty of food for a while. But now your brain's like a sieve," said the worm, with a devilish smile. "You've eaten up all of my brain," said Jim, feeling rather distraught. "You gave me some terrible pains, and now you've left me with naught." "Sorry," said Worm, "but you see, a worm needs to eat after all. So please don't think harshly of me, if indeed you can think at all." "I'll teach you," said Jim Rottenshaw, and went off to find a sharp hook. There were some in his dad's fishing drawer, but forgotten had Jim where to look. Poor Jim could think straight no more, so sat down and started to cry, until the worm crawled down and bore a hole through both of his eyes. "What are you doing, you fool? Now I can't think and can't see. Mr. Worm, you're incredibly cruel. Please stop what you're doing to me." But the worm made the snot from his nose and the earwax from inside his ears, then ate all of Jim's little toes and drank up all of his tears. The worm said, "I need to survive, and you are my house and my home. But, Jim, I will eat you alive till nothing is left but your bones." Poor Jim Rottenshaw is now dead, and the worm found elsewhere to hide. But watch out for spots on your head, for you never know what lives inside. The worm now lives as a cyst within some butchered meat. Not for long shall it be missed, for soon again we're sure to meet.
The way you walked was thorny, through no fault of your own. But as the rain enters the soil, the river enters the sea, so tears run to a predestined end. Your suffering is over. Now you will find peace for eternity.
Turn me deathly, I'm caught within its grasp.
Hello? Hello? Please, let me in. I'm hurt and I'm... Oh, thank God.
Yes, yes, what is it? Dear God, are you all right?
I'm hurt and I'm...
Well, I think you'd better come in.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank That's God. It. Come in. Here. Sit yourself down. Sit yourself down. And I'll just lock the door.
Oh, thank you, thank God. Thank God you're here. I didn't know.
Right, my boy. Now then. Tell me. What brings a man like you out here at this time of night? And on this of all nights?
I don't know. I was on my bike and then something hit me.
What hit you exactly?
I don't know. I didn't see.
And you don't know how you got here?
I don't know. I woke up in the woods and... Yeah, I don't know how I... Yes, I was trying to get away from... The train.
How did you find this place? How did you find me?
I've been wandering around out there for hours and... I tell you, I was just more than glad to see a light and to find you. I was beginning to worry.
Well, you had a good right. People don't last long out there. Not on nights like this, any road. Here. Take a drink. You'll need it.
Oh.
It'll take the edge off that pain. Let me try and find you a bandage or something.
Oh, thank you.
Those woods are no place for a man to be, my boy. Those woods are a dangerous place.
Where are we exactly? I mean, how can I find my way back to town?
Well, that depends on what town you're looking for.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
My boy, there are many strange things in this world, and these woods have been here since before places were given names. This is no place, and it is every place. The only thing you can do now is to sit here with me and try to make it through till morning, because whatever it was that brought you here... We'll be looking for you, and it will come. They always come.
Ladies and gentlemen, ghouls, ghosts, goblins, werewolves, wendigos, and any other creatures that have been paying attention, you have now reached the end of part one of this, the Incendiary Magazine, Why Aren't You Listening? Halloween Special Chatcast. The music that has been entertaining you so far has included John Carpenter's Halloween main titles theme, of course from the movie Halloween, and taken from the soundtrack Halloween 20th Anniversary Edition. You also heard Mort Garson with a wonderful little number from his album Black Mass, entitled Solomon's Ring, and that was followed from a track from the Vampire's Lesbos soundtrack, entitled Necronomica, and created by two German people whose names I can't pronounce. We then were followed up with a delightful story from Boris Karloff, called Just Inside the Cemetery, which was taken from his wonderful album, Tales of the Frightened. That was followed by the Magnetic Fields and their wonderful composition, Zombie Boy, which was taken from their album, Distortion. Human League were up next with their song, Circus of Death, which was taken from their album, Reproduction. And then you were treated to La Miseria Paduce, please forgive my pronunciation if it is incorrect, but that was taken from the marvelous album, Voodoo Drums in Hi-Fi. Then we were treated to My Vampire Heart, by the marvelous Tom McRae, and that song was taken from the album All Maps Welcome. Vincent Price entertained you with some instructions on how to become a werewolf, and that was taken from the album Tales of Witches, Ghosts and Goblins by Vincent Price himself. The Marvelous Money Mark was up next with a song called Maybe I'm Dead, and that was taken from his album Push the Button. Juke Special entertained you with a song called Flesh and Blood Dance, which was taken from his album I Never Thought This Day Would Come. Poor Jim Rottenshaw was written by Damien Leslie and taken from the Howden's Children Collection, created by Damien Leslie and Andrew L. Pachorik. Excerpts from the Universal films Dracula, Frankenstein and The Wolfman are all available as from the wonderful album by Boris Karloff called An Evening with Boris Karloff. And the soundtrack elements from Halloween were taken once again from the Halloween 20th Anniversary Special Edition soundtrack CD. That was the end of part one. We shall return you to part two in another file which should be available shortly.